if you like, focus our concerns and worries into something much more tangible. Yes.
I think my father is your side, so giving the definition like Ezra, then Alton, Nachum, then Zion HaKohen.
Okay, so it should be an Ilui Neshama, Bezras Hashem for him, and it should be an assistance to all our soldiers fighting on the front, and all of Klal Yisrael who need Yeshua. Yes.
The soldier who was very, very seriously injured, the others were killed in Miriam.
Right, this is in the tank that misfired.
The fight where they lost soldiers.
Right.
Three.
He should have a refus shalema b'chol chol Yisrael.
It was on the internet, and they said there's a number you can call in New York City at the Young Israel. I have it down. It's a 212 number, and you can get the names of the soldiers.
I have it on me.
You have it on the soldiers to pray for. Mm. The names of the ones who were
injured.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Fine. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be doing our little bit here and helping those who are fighting and helping for shalom for those who are injured. Okay, I picked a topic tonight. Can I trouble you for a glass of water, Mr. Kevin? I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not so religious. I don't fast the day after the tzom as well as the tzom. Apologies if that's lowering the standard. Just a glass of water. I'm a little bit croaky. I've just got back from running a 16-day Kirov trip all around Israel. We had a whole bunch of American students with us, learning and traveling and exploring ideas that they'd never thought of before. College students from America. It's a post-Taglitz program. It's under the auspices of Chappelle's Darchi Noam, and it's a very inspiring but extremely exhausting experience. And I'm the head of the organization, so it's like, I just was thinking, it's like running a major Yom Limud, except 16 of them all in a row. So thank you very much. So apologies if I'm a bit sort of tired and croaky tonight, but we'll get through this. I actually picked a difficult subject as well, so we'll see how well we do. But Tzedek Tishpot Am Yisrael Chom is a real core Bein Adam L'Chaveiro topic. How does this work, judging other people? Don L'Kaschus, many people have an idea that they know how this works, but often the way this is taught to people on a high school level is, well, you have to think of some story, it must be that this is what's happening, and in fact we'll see that that is not the case. Let's maybe deal with a few scenarios. What happens if you walk past your local McDonald's, and in the McDonald's is your rabbi eating McDonald's burgers? What is the halachic obligation as you walk past and see your rabbi there? What are you meant to think?
He's trying to convince him to give him
a answer. Now, is that a realistic scenario? Let me ask you. What are you meant to think?
He really needed
a
bathroom.
He needed a bathroom. Okay. Very nice. So why is he eating? Your rabbi is eating. Is your rabbi now eating treif? Or is there some other explanation? What are you required to think?
He might be sick and he has a...
Sick, could be.
Condition, he has to eat immediately.
Okay, could be. Those things exist. There's a famous maitzer of Shimon Schwab in Washington Heights, when he saw one of his balabatim eating hot dogs on the subway from a trefa hot dog stand, and he looked and he didn't say anything. He said, there's obviously some explanation here. He gave the explanation you gave. And it's a true story. A few days later, he was called to visit the guy in hospital, and he said he has a bleeding ulcer, and he has to, when he has attacks, he has to put food in his system. Otherwise, it could be life-threatening. And he says, look, you'll never guess the kind of places that I've had to eat. And he's thinking, oh, well, actually, you know, maybe I could guess. But he didn't say anything. So, yes, that could be. Let's give a slightly more complicated case. You see your... this is not so complicated. You see your next-door neighbor, your Jewish next-door neighbor, who doesn't keep kosher. He's not from. And he's eating at McDonald's. So are you meant to think anything differently, or what? He's eating treif, or... What is your obligation of Don L'Kaschus? Does that extend to him? How does that work? What are you meant to think when your next-door neighbor, who doesn't keep kosher, is eating at McDonald's?
That's normal.
So it's normal. He's eating McDonald's. Do you have any obligation of Donnacast course with him?
No.
Okay, so we'll see how that works. Let's give a much more complicated case now. There's a local girl from your community. You don't know her very well. She occasionally, you see her around, an 18-year-old girl. and you're driving through town, and all of a sudden you see you're driving through a slightly sketchy neighborhood where there's all sorts of nasty people that live there, and you see this woman, this girl, in a place where, which is known to be a place that they sell drugs, illegal. I'm not talking about Akamol, I'm talking about illegal drugs. Okay. And she's in, you stop the car and you're looking in, you're seeing, and this girl is obviously talking to some rather shady looking fellow behind the counter, gives her a brown paper bag that she stuffs in a coat, and then she walks out and looks around and sees nobody's watching, and she runs up the road. What is happening here? You have a mitzvah d'oraisa, we'll see soon, a tzedek tishpat amisach. You have an obligation to decide what is going on here. What is your obligation? Is she buying drugs? Is she a drug user? Is she not buying drugs? What would you say? Let me ask you.
She's a kirif person.
She's going to be a kirif people. Very nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other scenarios? Any other suggestions? Does anyone think here that she's a drug user? Yes or no? Maybe.
Possibly.
It's possible. It's not clear. But how does Donna Kavskos work here? You're required to judge her that she is or she isn't. And how would your analysis change if this girl was babysitting for your children tonight? Would that change the way you looked at the whole scenario? Do you really now think she is a drug user? You're going to cancel it? You're going to confront her? Etc. The mitzvah of Betzedek Tishbet Amisercha is the mitzvah of coming to a decision as to what's happening in a scenario which is not clear. It does not deal with what you do with that information. Do you confront them? Do you give them to Chacha? Do you report them to someone? That's a separate shaila. That's a completely separate issue. This shaila is simply dealing, as I said, with a scenario which is, I have incomplete information in front of me. It could go this way, it could go that way, and for various reasons which we'll go into, I need to know what happens here. It's important for me to know what happened. How is the halacha going to help me make a decision as to what happened? Yes.
Isn't the case of the person seen in the area of drugs a little trickier? Because people on drugs may need help.
Yes.
And maybe we can be there for them. But if we judge the situation as something other than she's on drugs, maybe we wouldn't have our antennas out to be there to help.
Correct. You put your finger on a very good point, which is you might turn around and say, well, why is it my business? Why do I have to get involved? Maybe I should walk around in a dream world thinking everybody's perfect. And of course, you put your finger on the point, which is maybe I need to decide that she's taking drugs in order to be able to help her. Mm-hmm. Deciding that she's not a drug taker when she is a drug taker is not necessarily going to be the right thing to do. And you're absolutely right. This is one of the imperatives of this mitzvah, why the Torah puts an obligation on us, we'll see, to be a judge, even in scenarios where you might sit around and say, well, is it any of my business? And we'll see how that works in a minute. So that is definitely a well-made point. Let's have a look at some of the sources. Source number one is the Pasuk. Let's see it in context. Lo sasu avil b'mishpat. Do not twist judgment. Lo sisaf neidal. Do not favor the poor. V'lo seda pnei gadol. And do not honor the wealthy, the rich, the great. B'tzedek tishpat am yisrael. You must judge. Let's translate these three words. Betzedek. What's tzedek?
Righteous.
Let's think of perhaps a little bit more of a standard English word for righteousness. You know?
Justice.
Fairness. Yeah. That, something like that.
Honesty.
Honesty. I'm not sure about honesty. I think justice or fairness is more like it. Mm-hmm. Tishbot means
judge.
Amisecho.
Your friend.
Judge your friend honestly. Judge your friend fairly, I should say. Judge your friend justly. Who is this pasuk talking to? Let's just ask. These mitzvahs, do not twist judgment, do not favor the rich, do not favor the poor, etc. Who do you think is...
A judge.
The pasuk seems to be talking to a judge. And if you look down in Rashi number 2, B'tzedek Tishbet Amisercha, his first word says that. K'mashma'o. Like it is implied, like it sounds. This pasuk is talking to a judge. It comes in a series of pesukim which seem to be dealing with dispensation of justice. But then he says another pshat. Dalet aleph means davar acher. Alternatively, havidanis chavercha lekafschus. Havidan, judge your friend lekafschus. What's kafschus? Right. What is the kaf?
Hand.
Right. What is the kafschus? So if you can imagine an old-fashioned scale, like a Maznaim, so there's the scales going up and down. So that's the calf. That's the calf's chos. One is the calf chov, downside, and one is the other side.
It's a calf mitesha also.
Right, also it's a hand. It's the same idea. It's the same idea.
You're giving him the benefit.
Correct. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt. And the question is, why is Rashi giving two pshats? A little bit of pashanut for a minute. Why does Rashi first of all say, Kamashma'al, this posik seems to be talking to a judge. And then he says, but there's another alternative understanding that he's not talking to a judge. He's talking to you and me. Judge your friend favorably. What is there in the posik that might give an indication that Rashi's picking up on that doesn't quite fit with a judge and courtroom scenario? Which word in the posik in number one seems not to fit with the court scenario?
Amitecha,
precisely. The Maharal says that. Why? Why does Amitecha not fit?
Because you couldn't be a judge if you knew the person.
Precisely. The whole concept of having a friend in court is completely antithetical to the dispensation of justice. My mother-in-law is a judge. She's a magistrate in England. And she is sits on the bench there, and all the local criminal life comes in front of her in South London.
Gets her away.
She doesn't get to wear a wig. She's actually a magistrate. She's not a high court judge. Otherwise, she'd get to wear a shekel in court as well. But my father-in-law, her husband, is a police doctor. And it occasionally happens, rarely, but occasionally, that he ends up being called to give evidence in a case in which she is presiding. And of course, if that ever happens, she immediately has to resign from the case. Because, excuse herself from the case. Because clearly, it is inappropriate to have... Correct, because a conflict of it. She has an amisecha in the court. She has a husband there. This is not possible, and therefore, why, says Rashi, is this word amisecha, this is how the Maharal understands, doing? What is that doing in this posik? And therefore, the posik has a secondary meaning, which is that it's talking about people and their friends, which is why Rashi uses the word chadercha, judge your friend favorably, and we'll see soon whether there is a conflict, if you like, between those two meanings. So we'll get there in a minute. That's a very important point. And we'll see in a minute the Pirkei Avos does not work the same way. And we'll see exactly how that works. But you put your finger on something important. Rashi, of course, is quoting from a Gemara. He doesn't make things up on his own. I brought you the Gemara in number three. Tana Rabbanan, but Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha. The Gemara in Shavua says as follows. Judge your friend with tzedek, with fairness. Shelo yehei echad yoshev ve'echad oimid. First, it gives the courtroom interpretation. One person shouldn't stand while the other one sits. Echad madabi kol tzarka. One person gets a full say. Ve'echad and the other one oimelo. They say to him, k'tzar devar echo. You can keep quiet. In other words, everyone has to have their fair day in court. Davar acher. Alternatively, but tzedek tishpat amisecha. What does that mean? Havidan et chaveret kalechavschus. Like Rashi says, judge your friend favorably. And the question is, how do those things go together? I'll just finish off this Gemara, because it raises a point which we're not going to deal with now, which we're going to flag for future shiurim. Tanya Rav Yosef, Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha. Rav Yosef says, Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha, Am She'itcha B'Torah Omitzas. Am Mitecha, the Chazal break down into three words. Am She'itcha, two words. Am She'itcha, those people who are with you in Torah and Mitzvahs. Which raises an interesting question as to what about those people who are not with us in Torah Mitzvahs? Which raises the fundamental question, which we will deal with, Be'ezrat Hashem, which is what is our obligation in Bein Adam L'Chaverus to non-religious people? People who do not keep a Torah Mitzvahs lifestyle, is, if you like, Bein Adam L'Chaveru rights, are they privileges which you earn by virtue of the fact that you're part of a Shomer Mitzvah system, or are they indiscriminately owed to every other Jew, irrespective of who they are and what they keep? That is a big question, which I'm not going to get into now. This Gemara seems to be indicating, no, this is only talking about Am She'itcha B'Torah Mitzvahs. People who are keeping Torah Mitzvahs, they have the right to be judged favorably, but people who are not, who knows? But there's more to this question than that, and we will have a whole share dedicated to it. And I just wanted to flag it, because it comes up on this posik as an interesting point. The first question, really, which I want to raise, there is a third understanding of this Gemara of Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, in number four, excuse me, which I don't really want to get into now, which is, I'll just mention it in passing, the Gemara says, we learn from this posik, since it says, Tishpot amitecha, you singular, you will judge your friend. But according to the Torah law, there only needs to be one judge in any particular court case. It's only later that the rule of three judges was brought in case you end up having struck unlucky and end up with an amaretz as your judge. And the hope is that if you have at least three judges, then at least one of them will have some sense. But that is a separate issue, which I'm not going to get into now, which I just brought, because it's coming off the same posik. So basically we have two meanings. Meaning number one is, if you're a judge, you must judge betzedek, fairly. And if you're not a judge, meaning number two is, if you're you and me, you must judge your friend favorably. You must be dalekasvos. And the first question really which I want to ask is, how on earth can it be that this posuk does both of those things? Aren't those things mutually exclusive? Let me ask you a question. The idea of don lekavschus, is that what a judge does in court? Sees someone in front of him and hears the evidence and thinks, well, how can we be don lekavschus here? Maybe he didn't mean to, you know, stab this person. Maybe it was maybe he was just trying to open a letter and it was always a terrible accident. Like, maybe. Is that the job of the judge? Absolutely not. If you're in court and the judge suddenly starts going, well, maybe Donna Kassus and this, you know, that, you fire him. You need a new judge. Time for a new judge. That's clearly not the job of the judge. The job of the judge is to judge fairly based on the evidence in front of him. But how then can the same three words, the tzedek, tishbot amitzecha, be coming to tell you to be Donna Kassus with other people? Isn't that a different thing? Isn't that a different kind of activity?
You're not a judge in court.
Right, you're not a judge in court, and what's more, you're looking for the good side. Aren't you looking for the good side in other people? That's not what a judge is meant to do. Therefore, the first question, I'm not going to answer this question yet, I'm going to answer it in about 15 minutes, okay, 10 minutes. The first question is, how can the same mitzvah be doing both things? Because they seem to be different. If you have two different mitzvahs, mitzvah number one says to the judge, judge fairly. And mitzvah number two says to you and I, judge favorably. Fine, two different mitzvahs, two different kinds of scenario. But this is the same thing, the same mitzvah. How can he be doing both? Keep that question, you hear the question? Mm-hmm. Keep that question on the boil, if you like, on a back burner, and we'll get back to it soon. Let's just go onwards for now. Look at source number six. Let me ask you first, before we deal with this source, is this mitzvah of Don Lekavschus a Torah mitzvah, or a mitzvah drabonon, or a nice midah? What is it? Well, what is the status of this mitzvah, what would you say, from what we've learned so far? It's not a trick question, by the way. It's not a trick question. Why would you say such a thing? What would you say based on the sources we've seen? Is it Minatera, Midrabonon? Why would you say that?
Because it's an explanation of...
But what is the source for the mitzvah? Vayikra! The source is not in Rashi. The source is in Vayikra. Ah, but you're saying an interesting thing. You're saying Rashi is explaining from Chazal the mitzvah in a certain way. That's an interesting question. But the fundamental source of this mitzvah is a pasuk. Betzedek mishtishvad amisecha. This is a mitzvah min haTorah. Look at number six. The Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, underlines the point, and he says, Yesh alecha lahatis atzafik. You have an obligation, says Rabbeinu Yonah, to resolve doubts. And to resolve them favorably. As the rabbi said, if you judge others favorably, Hashem will judge you favorably. We have to analyze what that means, that Hashem is judging favorably. And this is a Torah mitzvah. As it says, there's nothing really to doubt. This is a Torah mitzvah. Why did I bring you Rabbeinu Yonah? Because I wanted to underline for you that clearly Rabbeinu Yonah, and indeed the Rambam that I skipped, which is in source number 5, understands this as a Torah mitzvah. Why then do we see, if you flip over the page, a whole different understanding of this Don Lekavschus issue, which seems to say something else? Look at number 7. Apologies for my voice, it's on the way out. Never mind. As long as my brain's working, my voice is less important. Number 7. Look at number 7. Says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Yeshuv en Parachia Oimer, Havidan is called Adam Lekasus, to judge favorably. Says the Rambam, the same Rambam, like Rabbeinu Yonah, who told us this is a mitzvah min haTorah, don lekasus, shenehemar, but tzedek tishvod amitzecha. Says the Rambam, a word that I think you mentioned before. Number 8, he's explaining Pirkei Avos, Tzarech bederech hachasidus. shetzad in the kaskos. It's a derech chasidus to judge favorably. What is a derech chasidus?
It's beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond what is required.
Exactly. It's an optional extra. It's recommended.
Yeah,
lifnei mishur hadin. Everything in Pirkei Avos is an optional extra. Something which you should aim for and strive for, but it's not essential. It doesn't say in Pirkei Avos you shall eat kosher and you shall keep Shabbos. It says things like, you know, have a makabalist called Adam a save upon him yafis. You should smile at everybody. If you don't smile at everybody, are you breaking the Torah? No. But the way to become a refined person is to smile at people. So in other words, the Rambam is saying here, yeah, just like smiling at people is a derech chasidus, a midas chasidus, an optional extra which you should try for. Judging other people is also a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's an extra. But it's not an extra. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. How does that work? Mitzvahs min haTorah are not extras, derech chasidus. They're essential. Every man, woman, and child, maybe not child, but maybe bar mitzvah, has to do them. Why is he's saying now it's some kind of optional mitzvah? And he says the same thing in the halacha in number 9 when he talks about a Talmid Chacham. Look at this, number 9. Talmid Chacham lo yehei tzoyik. He's giving the midas of a Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham shouldn't scream, but tzaveach and shout the shout dibur when they talk. Kebehemus v'chayas, like animals. Some people tend to walk around screaming all the time. I think this is quite a Middle Eastern tendency. It's rare that you walk around in England hearing people screaming at each other in quite the same way you do in Israel sometimes. But he said, either way, wherever you live, screaming is not the way that a Talmid Chacham should speak. He shouldn't lift his voice too high. And a dibur b'nachas in kol abrias, he should speak softly with everybody. Machdin shalom should be the first one to say hello. Adam. To this day, I don't quite understand why more people don't say good Shabbos when you walk past them in the street.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing.
Yes.
It's a strange thing.
I notice it more in America, or I don't know, outside of Israel and among the Frum community, people still will say good Shabbos, but people
right
here in Israel, especially
do
between
not
men and women, will not.
Okay, fine. So I understand. Maybe
I
understand.
I wouldn't say
maybe people are. People have got the, exactly. Look, if only it was the fact that it was between men and women. I can assure you, I don't believe that I'm a woman, and I walk past many men in the street who don't say good Shabbos to me. The question is, why is that? It's not right. I once asked a class, and a girl told me something which is remarkable. She said, I once learned from a rabbi that you shouldn't say good Shabbos to somebody in case they don't say good Shabbos back and you've made them do an Aveira. I said, I don't think that sounds right. And I just in case I missed the trick here, I went and asked one of my rabbeim, and he said it's just like, it doesn't even get into the nonsense. It's like beyond nonsense. So saying makdim b'shalom, being the first one to jump in there and say good morning, is a very fundamental mitzvah. I'll tell you a ma'aseh shehaya. There's a good friend of mine lives here in Har Nof, Rabbi Yonason Moore. And if you know Johnny Moore here, lives there, lovely, lovely people, known from, I've davened with him, and he told me a ma'aseh. He was at the Levaya of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach many years ago, about 12, 13 years ago, when Rav Shlomo Zalman passed away. And he said there was a lady standing there at the Levaya screaming and crying and upset and really beside herself. And it seemed quite apparent, at least on a superficial level, that this was not someone from the Haredi community. This doesn't even look like a particularly frum person. She was not dressed but sneered, etc. And he went up to her and he said to her, I'm very interested, says to you, you're obviously very upset. What was your connection with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? So she said, look, she said, I am the woman who lives next to the Makolet in Shaare Chesed where he lived. And every morning Rav Shlomo Zalman used to go to the Makolet to buy a bit of bread, a bit of milk to bring home for the family. And I used to stand in the window. Every morning he used to smile at me, you know, that smile that you see Rav Shlomo Zalman on the pictures. So I used to say Boker Tov. She said, I used to live from Boker Tov to Boker Tov. That was my life. I used to stand there waiting for him to smile at me and say good morning. And now who's going to say Boker Tov to me? And it's just such a, you know, it affected her life so much, this idea that a Talmid Chacham should be Makdim Shalom, the one that says Boker Tov. And anyway, why am I bringing you this? So at the end of this line it says, V'dan is Kol Adam Lekavschus. They should judge Kol Adam Lekavschus. Again, this is a Talmid Chacham, this is an extra level. why are we hearing all the time that Dona Kaskos is some kind of extra when we've just said it was a mitzvah in a tenet? So now I want to try and resolve that question. Remember, the other question is still floating out there as to how the you can be doing the same thing as a judge. We'll get to that. But let's resolve this question and really get into the meat of the mitzvah. Because, in fact, what is coming out of this Pirkei Avos is a very fundamental distinction between two types of Dona Kaskos. If you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos number 7, what does it say? Yishun ben Parachi Oimer, have they done it? Chala Adon Kaskos. How does that differ from the mitzvah Doraisa that we read about in number 1 and number 2? What is the wording that we see in number 2? Go back to number 2. What's this? Right, and what did it say before? Well, yes, and what did Rashi say? What was Rashi's understanding in number 2? Chavercha. Chavercha. And you put your finger on it before. What is this with chavercha? You see, the Rambam is going to pick up in number 10 in a minute that you're dealing with two very different scenarios. There's chavercha and there's kol odom. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is an optional extra. It's a midas chasidus. Why? Because it's dealing with a kol odom, not chavercha. The mitzvah doraisa, the mitzvah min haTorah, the obligation on every person is when it comes to chavercha. But when it comes to kol odom, that is an optional extra. See how the Rambam puts it, and we'll define who these people are. Good number 10. Havidan is called Adon Lekavschus. In Yanai, this is the Rambam's parish on the Mishnah, in the Pirkei Avos. What this means is as follows. She'im ye Adam she'enu yadua lecha. If there's someone you don't know them. We say in English, you don't know them from?
Adam.
It's the same idea. You don't know them from Adam. You don't, it's like a call Adam. Okay? You don't know if they're a tzaddik or a rosha, and we're going to define that in a minute. But you see him doing something or saying something. If you explain it in such and such a way, it could be good. But if it's explained in a different way, it could be bad. What should you do? Explain it well. Don't think bad of them. This is category number one, the Kol Adam. Who's the Kol Adam? The Kol Adam is the random person in the street. You don't know who they are. All you know about them is that they're Jewish. You see them doing something which is could easily be explained badly or explained well. What should you do? Says the Rambam, you really can't judge them. Why can't you judge them? Because you don't know anything about them. You have no context. You just saw this person, you saw this random person walking in, eating a cheeseburger at McDonald's. I don't know what they are, who they are. I heard that they're Jewish. I'm not allowed, really, I'm not able to judge properly. But what can I do is I can just be positive. That's the midas chasidus. That's the extra level. Why not be a positive person? Not necessarily for them, for you. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? Says the Rambam, the midas chasidus is why not be positive? It's not really the mitzvah to judge. You're not really being done like avschos. Because you don't really know enough about them. But you're saying, look, I've seen a scenario, let's just say it's positive. Why not? Because most people are good. I'm going to judge it well. But I'm not really judging it at all. However, once you're dealing with chavercha, then I can be a judge. Having done is chavercha lakaschus. Look at the second box in number 10. Aval, however, imhu ish yadua shehu tzaddik. If you know who they are, and you know that they're a tzaddik, what does a tzaddik mean here? Now, tzaddik, for this mitzvah, is very important, it's very fundamental. Does not mean, some tzaddik, some right, like Rav Ari Levin. Okay? Rav Ari Levin is a tzaddik. This is not the tzaddik we're talking about here. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. Time. We had on our tour, actually, his grandson, Rav Benji. He's also a tzaddik. But, this is not the tzaddik we're talking about here. Here, tzaddik is as follows. Umafursam. It means he's well known, but Maaseh HaTov, that he does this well. What does that mean? It means that here is a person who I know keeps this mitzvah. I know they keep this mitzvah. They're a tzaddik for this mitzvah. I see this person eating a cheeseburger. Something's not right here. This person just wouldn't eat a cheeseburger. V'niraloi Maaseh Shekol Tchunosav Yarei Al HaYosem Maaseh Rav. So let's carry on number second box. And you see him doing something that almost everything about it looks terrible. The only way of explaining it well is ala bedoichek rav, really forced, ma'oid, very very forced, over sharas rochayka and very unlikely. Sarach lefarish oisek atayv. You have to explain it well. Why? Since there is a possibility that it's good, you're not allowed to doubt them. On this it says, anyone who doubts those people who are really ksherim, who are tzadikim, they deserve malchus themselves.
Maybe now, it's his twin brother.
We'll get to that question soon. We'll get to that question. Maybe it's his twin brother. We'll see with Rabbi Akiva in a minute how that works. With a tzadik it goes like this. A tzaddik is someone who I know enough about them, they're chavercha, they're not kol adam, I know enough about them to know that this is just impossible. For example, I see my rabbi from Har Nof in McDonald's eating a cheeseburger. Okay? It looks 99.5% very bad. It looks like a cheeseburger. It looks like he's eating it. It's clearly him. It's not his twin brother because I know he doesn't have a twin brother. There's a 0.5% chance that it's, I don't know, maybe he's got less of a sickness or illness or there's some mistake or I am obliged, la halacha, to go with the 0.5%. Why? Because he's a tzaddik, which means what? He has a chazaka. In halacha, this is a very important principle. A chazaka, what is a chazaka? A chazaka means that if something is the case today, I can assume that that is the case tomorrow. This is the case in many halachas, for example, in Hilchos Halachos in Gittin. If a man gives me a get, says, take this to my wife in Los Angeles and deliver it to my wife. So I get on a plane in Ben-Gurion, I fly to Los Angeles. So what's the day today? Tuesday. So Thursday morning I arrive in Los Angeles, I arrive and give the wife the get. So I should stop and think, oh, wait, who knows whether he's alive? Maybe he's not alive anymore. It's possible that the guy passed away, it's possible. She's a widow, in which case the get's nonsense and the whole thing is not... Do I have to assume maybe, God forbid, the guy died? No, because most people who are alive today are alive tomorrow. He has a chazaka that he's alive. So every time you take one foot in front of the other in the street, you're assuming the ground will still be there. How do you know? Maybe there'll be an earthquake. Maybe there'll be a collapse. Maybe something will happen. Has it ever happened? Yes, it has happened occasionally in the past. Something has happened. You don't have to assume that. Chazaka means what is the case now will be the case for the foreseeable future, unless something major changes. He's a tzaddik. He doesn't eat treif. So he's not eating treif. He's not. How do I know? Because he's a chazaka. He's a tzaddik. Therefore, even if it looks 99.5% bad, it's not bad. That's because he's a chaver. That's because I know that he's a tzaddik. However, look at the third box. V'chein, says the Rambam, in higher rosha, if he's a rosha, then it's pasu ma'asav, and he's well known for being a rosha. What does that mean, he's a rosha? It doesn't mean he's a thoroughly evil person, just like a tzaddik didn't mean he's a saint. A rosha means, I know he doesn't keep this mitzvah. I know. He doesn't keep kosher. He doesn't keep Shabbos, or whatever it is. And then you see him doing something which looks 99.5% good. And there's just the off chance that it looks bad. You have to judge them negatively. You're not allowed to believe anything good about them. Since it could be bad. Do you hear what the Rambam's saying? Very important point. Part of the mitzvah of Don Lakav Schus is when you're dealing with a tzaddik, you have a mitzvah to judge them favorably. Why? Because they're a tzaddik. They were a tzaddik yesterday. They're a tzaddik today. When you're dealing with a rosh, you have a mitzvah in a Torah to judge them unfavorably. A mitzvah. You're not allowed to judge them favorably. Why not? Because they're a rosh. For example, my next door neighbor doesn't keep treif, let's say, and he invites me for dinner. Am I allowed to eat that? Obviously not. So he says to me, don't worry, I'll make it fine. This happened to me, by the way, once. I was at work when I was a very junior lawyer. One of my senior partners, who was a non-Jewish fellow, very lovely, thoroughly nice fellow, he invited me for dinner with my wife. We like to be, you know, friendly to the new recruits. So I said to him, no, really, I can't come, and it's lovely of you to invite me. Maybe I'll just come round for a cup of tea or something like that. No, I must have you for dinner. So he said, I'll sort it all out, and I'm going to go. And we arrived there.
At his home.
We arrived there, and of course, we're sitting in trepidation, what's he going to bring me? So he says to me, I've got it all worked out. And he brings me this plate of chicken. Mm-hmm. And he says, I've done a lot of research. Mm-hmm. He says, and I realize that Jewish people don't eat pork, but they do eat chicken. Mm-hmm. So especially we've got...
So excuse myself.
He's vegetarian, whatever. Anyway, my next door neighbor invites me for a dinner, and he doesn't keep kosher. But you know, the next morning I see him running around the shuk and asking for hechsherim, mahadrim and a mahadrim, and like I'm seeing him doing all these things, looks like he's, wow, he's keeping kosher. Is he keeping kosher? No, he doesn't keep kosher. I looks very, very good. It looks it's not. I'm not allowed to eat there. There's the mitzvah of Dona Kavschus, if you like, backwards, that I'm not allowed to judge him favorably because it's clearly not right. Why? Because he's a Rosha. So you see a very interesting thing here. We say for what we've seen three categories of people. There's a Kol Adam. I can't really judge them at all. I just have to be positive. Why not? There's a Tzaddik. It's obviously not a problem. He's obviously doing it right. Why? Because he's a Tzaddik. He doesn't do this wrong. You know, your average person, let's take an average Harnoff person, okay? Your average Harnoff person has plenty of Yetzirahs, I'm quite sure. Nobody's perfect. But they don't have Yetzirahs to eat in McDonald's. Ain't davar kaze. Not people I know, anyway. If I see an acquaintance of mine from Harnoff eating a McDonald's burger, it's not a McDonald's burger. There's obviously another scenario. For that mitzvah, they're a tzaddik. But the thing is, and the chiddush is, and this is how Rav Berkowitz explained it, you can be a tzaddik for one thing and a rosha for something else. I see the same person Friday morning going to Berman's Bakery, parking on a place where you're not allowed to park, running into the bakery. What am I meant to think? Oh, it's an emergency. He had a child who has to get bread within the next 15 seconds, otherwise the kid might, God forbid, have a, you know, collapse from, you know. Do I think that, or do I think, you know something, why can't the guy park in the right place? So, you know, depends. I'm not saying that everybody in Harnoff doesn't park well. There's lots of people do. But I'm not, let's say at least this, I'm not sure he's a tzaddik. I'm not sure he's a tzaddik. Tzaddik meaning someone who is inconceivable that they would do such a thing. I'm not sure that's true. There is another category. There's a beinoni. Look at number 11.
Is it possible just not to think?
No, it's not, because the mitzvah says tishbot. Mm-hmm. You must judge.
But can you have doubts?
We'll see that right now. The Beinoni is the situation where you're going to have doubts. See, the Tzaddik, I don't have any doubts. Why? I don't doubt that my rabbi may be eating McDonald's, because of course he's not eating McDonald's. There is another explanation. And I don't doubt that the guy who is parked, double parked, in a place where you're not even allowed to single park, I don't doubt that he's parked right, because you know something? People don't drive very well here. But a Beinoni is different. Look at number 11. Imhu mina Beinoni. But if he's a Beinoni, this is Rabbeinu Yonah. What is a Beinoni? Asher yizharu min achet. They try not to do this. But sometimes, you know, sometimes they don't do it right. Because they're not tzaddik. A tzaddik means that it's inconceivable. They have no yetzirahs for this. They're certainly not a rosha. A rosha means that they couldn't care less. They don't care about it. They're a Beinoni. They try, but they don't always get it right. I don't know. I wouldn't like to stereotype, put people in pigeonholes, but maybe Lashon Hara is a good example of this. Now, there are people who just never speak Lashon Hara, for sure. There would be a tzaddik for that. And there are people, unfortunately, who are Balei Lashon Hara. Not people, Baruch Hashem, in the Frum community on the whole, but the people who just speak Lashon Hara all the time. Mm-hmm. But most people are not Rashaim, and they're unfortunately not Tzaddikim. They're Beinoinim. They're people who try very hard not to speak Lashon Hara, but you know something? Every now and then something slips out. That's a Beinoini. So you hear somebody saying something. You hear, I give it sometimes an example. You know, you walk into a room. This is very, you know, gay, this is very relevant in the seminary world, or you know, where girls are always kind of thinking, who's talking about me and who's this, is that. As you get a bit older, you get a bit less interested in who's talking about you, because you realize people are actually usually talking about themselves, so they're not really talking about you at all. But you know, you walk into a room and there's two girls, they're sitting there pointing and laughing as you walk in. As you walk in, they stop talking. What's going on there? How are these people speaking Lashon Hara about me? How do I know that? So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, look at number 11. What should you do? So exactly what the point that you made just before. Yesh alecha lahatzos hasofik ulachri lekavschus. This is a sofik, but you should try and decide it favorably. K'moshe amar Rabbi Seder Zichron Livracha, like the rabbis have said, hadanit chalei lekavschus hamakim yedinei lekavschus. If you judge others favorably, Hashem will judge you favorably. But who mitzvah asem in haTorah? That's part of the Torah mitzvah. Shneimar betzadik tishpod amisecha. But ve'im hadava noite lekav chayva. But if it really looks bad, at the end of the day, you can't judge it well. It should remain as a sofik. Try not to judge it negatively. You see very subtle, there's a lot of subtlety in this halacha. If this person was a tzaddik and I saw them doing something which looked bad, I don't care how bad it looks. If there's any possibility of explaining it well, then of course it's good. If they're a rasha, I don't care how good it looks. If there's any possibility of explaining it badly, it's not good. But if they're a beinoni, I have to really sit back and weigh it up. I have to say, look, how does this look? 50-50, 60-40. They don't have a chazaka. They're not a tzaddik or a rosh. I can't assume anything. I have to go on the facts. If I can, I have to try and explain it positively. But at the end of the day, I can be allowed to have that lingering doubt in my mind. What's going on here? In other words, if my rabbi is eating McDonald's burgers and then invites me the next day to eat dinner in his house, I'm not allowed to have the slightest hesitation in accepting his invitation.
Was he actually eating it?
It looks like it, but you know something? There must be. Look, ninth. The Rambam said the only way of explaining it well is extremely far fetched and extremely forced. I am not allowed for a single second to hesitate and accept his dinner invitation. Why not? He doesn't eat trade. There must be another explanation. But let's go back to this girl who's buying drugs, or looks as though she's buying drugs. Let's now analyze it using the information that we have. I see this girl. I need to know what's going on here. So we have to decide, who is she? Is she a Kol Adam? Is she a Tzaddik? Is she a Rosha? Is she a Beinoni? What is she? Because the halacha will depend on what I decide. You see, very interestingly here, this area of Bein Adam Chavero is actually very sophisticated. You know, when you make a cup of tea on Shabbos and you're thinking to yourself, oh, he's a tea bag, he's a Kli Rishon, he's a Kli Sheni, you're going through the whole thing. You know, you wouldn't have thought it could be so complicated to make a cup of tea, but for Jewish people, it's complicated to make a cup of tea. Okay, you see, in Bein Adam Chavero, it's also complicated to make up your mind about what people do. You're weighing up, what is she? Is she a Rosh? Is she a Tzaddik? So let's think, who is she? This girl, is she a tzaddik?
You said you don't know her very well.
Well, we don't know. She's a from girl from the neighborhood. From girl. She's the daughter of the nice people that live down the road. Is she a tzaddik? Is it inconceivable that she could ever be doing such a thing?
Depends how well you know her.
Depends how well you know her. Maybe it is, but maybe it's not.
She's probably not a tzaddik or a rush. She's probably a
benefit. I mean, a rusher will be like, yes, I know this girl's a drug user. Somebody you know who's a drug user, and you see them in a place where they buy drugs. So what are you meant to think? What do you think he's doing there? He's doing what drug users do in a place where they sell drugs, which is buy drugs.
Would you consider them a rusher? Maybe they're sick. I mean,
No. Again, let's not fall into the trap of thinking that a rusher means it's judgmental. A rusher doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're not going to Olam Haba. Doesn't mean that. You might have a wonderful place in Olam Haba. It might not be your fault. I'm not judging you, etc. Rosha for this mitzvah just means that this is not something that you do well. This is not something that you ever get right. It's something you always get wrong. Again, no one's judging the guy next door who doesn't keep kosher and saying that, oh, well, I'm more of a, you know, I'm a bigger, you know. No. Who knows? Nobody sees into the soul of another person as to where, who's in which order, okay? But for this mitzvah, a tzaddik and a rosha has a very defined meaning. Therefore, maybe you'll have to turn around and say, look, maybe she's a beinoni. In which case, what does it look like, Taka? Looks good, looks bad. And if it looks bad, maybe I should try and leave it as a sopik. But you know something? She's not babysitting for me this evening. Mm-hmm. Not without further information. What happened to Don Lakavschos? I'm sorry, I don't have a mitzvah of Don Lakavschos to make up a story which may or may not be true for someone who is not a tzaddik. I don't have a mitzvah to do that. So I'm not going to have a babysitter. I'm going to then I have to decide, what am I going to do now? I'm going to just, you know, phone her parents. I'm going to phone her. I'm going to speak to her. I'm going to, whatever. Pass the next mitzvah along. This mitzvah, I'm just trying to decide what to do. Yeah.
Are you allowed to say to somebody?
What?
I saw you in the store. What were you doing there?
Maybe that's part of the.
That's
part of the mitzvah of tochacha, and we're going to have to learn as to how the mitzvah of tochacha works. When you're allowed to say it, what the scenario has to be, what the relationship has to be, in which case, in which tochacha can be given. But that's not this mitzvah. I'm not dealing with that. All I'm dealing with is, what did I see here? A good way of understanding how this works is to look at the Gemara number 13. Everybody please look at this Gemara number 13. This is a famous story from the Gemara in Shabbos of Rabbi Akiva. Actually, it doesn't mention Rabbi Akiva by name, but the later Mefarshim understand that it's talking about him. Have a look please together with me at number 13 at the bottom of the page on page 2. This famous story. Tana Rabbanan, Hadan Chaveru Lekavschus, done in Oysel Eschus. If you judge other people favorably, Hashem will judge you favorably. Maaseh, there's a story. Ba'adam Echad, there was this fellow. She yored mi Galil ha'elyon v'niskar etzal balabais Echad bedroim sholosh shanim. Let's get the facts of the story right. There was this fellow who came down from the Upper Galilee. I was in the Upper Galilee a couple of days ago in Sfats. Okay, he came down from the Upper Galilee. And he went to work in the south for this balabais for 3 years. So the later Meforshim, the She'iltas of Rabbi Chai Gon say, this was Rabbi Akiva. Before he became the famous Rabbi Akiva, and the balabais was Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. Now Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus was a Gadol Hador. He was also a very, very wealthy man. So we have this scenario, Rabbi Akiva is now working for this famous rabbi, Gadol Hador, for 3 years. Let's carry on. Second line. Erev Yom Kippurim. Amaloy. On Erev Yom Kippur, he said to him, Tein li schari. Give me my wages. Ve'elech va'azan es ishti ubani. I'm going to go back and feed my wife and family. In other words, he's been away from his wife for 3 years to work to earn some money. And he's now on Erev Yom Kippur said, look, you know, I've decided to leave now. Please give me my money. I'm going to go back. What happens? Amar Lo, the Balabai says to him, Ein li mos. I'm sorry, I've got no money. Amar Lo, he said, okay, ten li peiros. Give me fruit. I schlep fruit. Amar Lo, ein li. No fruit. Ten li karka. Give me some land. Give me some, you know, documents, deeds. Ainli, I've got no land. Now this is getting a bit silly because he's the richest man in the land. He's got lots of that. Taini behema, give me animals. Ainli, no animals. Taini karim v'kostas, give me pillows. Give me anything. I'll schlep tablecloths. I don't care. I can't go home empty-handed. Says to him, Ainli, I have nothing. Hivshol Caleb lachayrav. He threw his backpack behind him. The halach lebeis of the pachinefesh. He went back home devastated. Can you imagine what his wife said when he walked in? Now his wife Rachel was a tzaddikis, so I'm sure she was understanding. But you know, I would have been entirely excusable if she'd have turned around and said, 3 years you've been away and you walk back with nothing in there, you know, what are we going to eat? Fine. La'achar. It's very interesting because if you, this fits many ways, I'm getting into this now, but the whole story of Rabbi Akiva and Rachel when he went away to learn. So he went for 12 years and for 12 years. So this is before he was into the learning so much. So you see that the whole marriage he was kind of schlepping around, going away for years on end. So anyway, luckily he lived till 120, so he had the time to run around. Okay, la'achar harekel, after Sukkos, nafal balabai scharas, so Rabbi Lazar ben Hercules takes the money, b'yado in his hand, va'ave imoi masri gimel chamorim, and three donkeys. Full. Echad shel machal, echad shel mishter, ve'echad shel minim agadim. One of full of food, and one full of drink, and one full of goodies. Minim agadim, you know, agadim means like treats, chocolates, that kind of thing. The halach lo lebeis, and he went to his house. Now, so he gave him the money. Echad shel achlu, v'shasu, after they ate and drank, nosan leschar, he gave him his wages, and he said to him, now, he says, Rabbi Kiva, I want to ask you a few questions. B'shamsha amartali, when you said to me, Taini Schari, give me the money, that amarti, and I said, Aini Mas, I've got no money. But Hashatani, what did you think? He's going through a whole bunch of questions now. What was your thought process at that time? Says Rabbi Kiva, Amarti, I thought, Shema, Pragmatia Bazol Nizdam Lacha, maybe you had a big deal that came up suddenly. Lakachta Behem, and it used all your cash. In other words, you didn't expect me to ask suddenly for the money. Maybe you have no cash in the house. You know, is it possible that people get caught without cash in the house?
Yeah.
Possible. Ubashasha Martali, when you said to me, he says, when I said to you, when you said to me, Tenli Behema, give me animals, Amarti, Ainli Behema, and I said, I've got no animals. But Machashatani, what did you think then? Says Rabbi Kiva, Amarti, I thought, Shema Muscharis Biyadachem. Maybe they're all leased out to other people. It was, yes, there are animals outside, but maybe they don't belong to you. When I said I've got no land, but Machashatani, what did you think? Amarti, I thought Shema Mucheres Biyad Acherim. Maybe they're leased off. Maybe they're not yours. Well, B'shasha Amarti Lecha Ainli Peres. When I said I've got no fruit, and you're looking in my barns, and there's fruit piled to the grain piled to the ceilings, but Machashatani, what did you think then? Amarti Shema Ainam Usaris. Maybe they weren't tithed. You know, maybe you hadn't taken trumas and maestros, and you couldn't give them out. And finally, the last thing, when I said to you, I don't own anything, which is like, you know, if you think about this, this has gone from the possible to the highly unlikely. You know, the first scenario was, I've got no cash in the house. Okay, fine, got no cash in the house. In the end, he says to Rabbi Akiva, you know something? I don't own anything. Nothing. I don't own anything. I've got nothing. You can imagine being in somebody's house, like, a millionaire, and you're looking around asking, you need payments, and they say, I'm sorry, I don't own anything. This is very strange. What do you think then, he says? Amart, he says, Rabbi Akiva, I thought, Shema Higdish Kol Nechasav L'Shamayim. Maybe he's given everything to Stocker. Maybe he's given away all his Nechasim. Amalei, and he says to him, Ha'avayda, he says, that's it. That's exactly what happened. And they look at the case. Kach Haya, this is what happened. He Hidati Kol Nechasai Bishvil Hurkenes B'ni Shaloi Isim Asag B'Tayra. My son Hurkenes, he had a bad problems with his son. Son was going off the derech. His son would not learn Torah. So he disinherited him. He said, I'm not giving you a penny of anything I own. Forget about it. I don't think you're going to, you know, live off my money if you're not prepared to go to yeshiva. And I'm going to give everything I have away to charity. When I came to my colleagues in the south, I thought better of it. I did have Torah Nadarim. In other words, at that particular moment when Rabbi Akiva asked him for his wages, Hitaka didn't own anything. But later he got the money back. He did have Torah Nadarim. And then he went to give him the money. Va'atah, and he finishes off. Kashem shiradam dananti lekut l'schus. Just like you judge me favorably, hamokim yadin oischak schus. Hashem should judge you favorably. Now, I'm sure this story was familiar to many people. Let's just analyze it for a minute. What's going on in this story? What is happening here? So there's two things I want to point out to you. The first thing is as follows. Rabbi Akiva, when he's faced with a challenging circumstance, doesn't jump to the most unlikely possibility. He first goes through the most likely possibilities. Maybe he had no cash in the house. Yeah. What are the chances of that? 30%. Maybe his animals were leased off. Maybe his land was leased off. Maybe his fruit was not tied. Maybe he gave everything away to Stocker. In other words, he only resorted to the least likely scenario when he'd exhausted all other possible, more reasonable alternatives. So this already teaches you a very important halacha in Don Akasfos. One has no business jumping to ridiculous scenarios if there's a more reasonable alternative. Or No, first of all, Rabbi Akiva went through the most likely scenarios until eventually he was faced with the following question. Right. It's Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara was very careful to say it was Erev Yom Kippur. And I've been working for this guy for 3 years. He's the Godel Hador and he's refusing me my money and sending me back to my wife with nothing. Now, on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's trying a little bit hard, okay? So I have two alternatives, says Rabbi Akiva. Either the Godel Hador is a dirty, rotten, low life, because he's not giving me 3 years of wages on Erev Yom Kippur, or he's giving it all to Stocker. Which of those is more likely?
The first is more likely.
Well, he's a dizzy, rotten, low life.
No.
So Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkenes is a tzaddik. He's not going to pay his work just to be nasty. He's not going to pay his workers on Erev Yom Kippur 3 years' wages and going to send them home saying I couldn't care less. There's obviously, I don't know. It depends on what your expectations are of humanity. I'd like to think that the more likely scenario is that he's given all his money to Stocker. You disagree? Maybe you disagree. It's up to you. Maybe you've all had bad experiences with people not paying money on time. Now, there are plenty of people paying money and not paying money on time, but they're not Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkenes, and it's not Erev Yom Kippur.
But he didn't think of this person working for him.
Why?
Because he's only concerned about his son.
Well, one second, he didn't expect Rabbi Akiva to ask for this money.
He's got to pay him sometime.
Well, he's got no money.
3 years.
3 years, he's got no money. He's got nothing there. In other words, you could ask the question, why didn't he just explain the situation?
Yes.
Why didn't he just... Well, the answer is, this is very embarrassing.
Maybe they're ashamed.
You know, this is... He's going to go into his whole family, personal issues with this worker who's coming for his wages. Well, my son is... I've given all my money. I don't think he's obliged to get into personal detail. He turned around to him and said, I'm really sorry. I've got no money. And he had no money. Later, when he got his money back, so of course he went straight there and gave him there. But the interesting thing is, Rabbi Akiva is decides that he must have given his money to the Beis HaMikdash rather than he become a low life, because it's more reasonable, it's more likely that happened. And if you go back to the
he probably
personality.
Of course he knew his personality. We're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Think of, you know, I don't like mentioning names, but, you know, people that you know from the neighborhood who are mamash tzaddikim, can you imagine doing certain things? It's inconceivable. Even if the only alternative is highly, highly, highly unlikely, it's obviously less likely that they did such a terrible thing. And let's go back to our first question. The question is, how can the mitzvah in the Torah be telling you, on the one hand, a judge, that a judge has to judge fairly, and you and I have to start judging, you know, Don Lekavschus, favorably? The answer to that question is, that's not the case at all. The mitzvah of Don Lekavschus is exactly the mitzvah of being a judge. You don't have to judge anybody favorably. You just have to judge people fairly. And if you're honest, and you really are fair, and you understand who this person is, that they're a tzaddik, then the fair answer is that, of course, they didn't do this.
So it's based on the person.
Of course it is. 100%. 100% based on the person, and not only the person, but based on exactly what it looks like they did. So there is no mitzvah to judge anybody favorably, actually. The mitzvah is only to judge people properly. The problem is we're too quick to judge other people negatively, that we think we're judging them favorably, and really it's just called being fair. Of course my rabbi's not eating McDonald's. Of course he isn't. Of course Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is not turning into a low life on Erev Yom Kippur, Chas V'Chalila. There's obviously another scenario which is just more reasonable. One of the classic scenarios that we see this in is Bilam and the donkey. Yeah, when Bilam's hitting his donkey, smacking his donkey, and the donkey turns around and speaks to Bilam, and what does he say to him? He says, "One second, am I not the donkey who's been taking you loyally all my life, wherever you wanted me to go?" So what does he turn around? He says, "Okay, you're up. You are." In other words, the donkey's turning around to Bilam and giving him Musa, turning around and saying, "What's that? What happened to Don Lekavschus? What is more likely here? That I've suddenly turned into a completely crazy donkey? Or that there's something here that you can't see?" And the Bilam obviously is not a refined personality type, and he's not interested in Don Lekavschus, and therefore his answer is just to whip the donkey completely. By the way, one of the things we did with our group up north, our Kirov group, is we went donkey riding. And you only understand these things when you get on a donkey, because donkeys, I don't know if you've ever been donkey riding, it's a once in a lifetime must, actually. You shouldn't, no one should go through life without having at least once ridden a donkey and once ridden a camel. Okay, because you understand Tanakh much better once you've done that. You ride on a donkey, and they do what they want. You kick them and they just go backwards, and you pull them left and they just go to the right. It's a tricky business. And one of my rebbeim actually said to me, in all seriousness, this is why the Navi says the Mashiach will come riding on a donkey. This is what's going on. This is because Mashiach comes, and you think, oh yes, it's going in exactly the direction you expect it to go, and all of a sudden, it goes off. What's going on? How does this work? I thought everything was moving towards Yemesa Mashiach. No, it's a donkey. It's not a fast horse. Things going off in twists and turns. It goes backwards 2 steps, forward 2 steps, sideways 2 steps. And Taka, we see this. We see this in just when we think that things are moving in the right direction, all of a sudden something happens which veers off into a different, we don't understand. That's part of the Mashiach riding on a donkey. But you see from Bilam the mitzvah of Don Lekavschus as well. And you see from this whole thing, just to summarize, that there's a very sophisticated analysis that the halacha is requiring of us. Why is it requiring? Why can't I just not think? Let's maybe just finish with this point. Because it's not an option not to think. Because you can't help other people. You can't help yourself. You can't protect yourself. And like the lady said over there, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Leia.
She said before that you can't help this girl if she is a drug user. If you just pretend that she's not a drug user, you can't protect your family from potential danger if you walk around in a kind of dream world. Well, you know, everything's beautiful, everybody's nice. The Torah demands that you have a nuanced understanding of who are they, what did they do. This is not so that everyone can be busybodies. You know, my sister-in-law once moved to a Jewish community which will not be named for now, and she hung up her washing only to be told the next day by her neighbour that she didn't think her pyjamas were tzanua enough and she ought to get some new pyjamas. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about busybodies looking into everybody's lives, you know, saying that this is not, we're not talking about that, okay? That's only been not known as judging other people. And we're not talking about being judgmental about other people. We're not talking about sitting around saying, well, you're not good enough, or he's this and that. We're talking simply about, I need to know what's going on. I just need to understand. I can't walk through... What's this?
Situation.
The situation. I can't walk through life in a dream world. I can't walk through life pretending things are happening when they're not. I have to know, is he a tzaddik? Is she a rosha? Is he a beinoni? Is he a kol adam? And I have to make decisions accordingly. It's really requiring a Jewish person to be a thinking person before they do anything. Of course, there is another side to the coin, which I'm not going to get into now, which is we have an obligation not to put ourselves in situations which look as though there's Maris Ayin issues, etc. That's the other side of the coin. From the other side of the coin, we have to make sure that if we judge people properly, and in fact it'll turn out in most cases, if we only judge people fairly, we'll end up judging most people favourably, because most people really are good, and most scenarios actually turn out to be better than they look. So let's leave it there. I brought you a brief summary in English at the bottom of page 3, so you can look at it on your own. So that, you know, it's setting out exactly what I've said. But hopefully this brings the whole mitzvah into a slightly more structured format. It's not just about making up stories. It's about really being a judge and being someone who has got their eyes open to what the world is offering. Okay, let's leave it there. I'm sorry my voice was probably painful to listen to.
When did you recruit the young people?